Well, good afternoon. So I'm going to talk about how harvesting can affect the quality of ginger, and that potentially can affect its biological properties, especially its effects on obesity. Just simple classification, I think we skip that. Now, ginger is native to Southeast Asia, but now it is cultivated all over the world. Here is the ginger shown, which is grown at our Randolph's farm at Virginia State University. Ginger is a profitable crop now, and there's a competition between countries who can make more ginger, can make more money. So just a comparison, like in 2010, China was the leading ginger producer country. If you can see, like Nigeria was on fifth position, but in 2016, more recently, India is making more, supplying more ginger to the world, and Nigeria moved from fifth position to the second position. So essentially, like India, Nigeria, and China, Indonesia, they are supplying the almost like 75% world supply of ginger. Countries who are importing the ginger, if you can see, like basically, like you know, five countries, they use import almost like 50% world supply of ginger. Now, ginger, it has a lot of health benefits. Ginger is very, very well known for its effects on cough and cold symptoms. It also helps in nausea, especially morning sicknesses. It also helps in muscle pain and soreness. It has effects on chronic indigestion. It has anti-inflammatory properties, so it's also used for osteoarthritis. It has properties to decrease the blood glucose level, as well as it also regarded as an anti-diabetic agent. It also, as I said, it has anti-inflammatory properties, so it also decreases cholesterol level, which is linked to heart diseases. It also has shown some anti-cancer properties, and it has antibacterial, so it's also good for infections. Now, ginger's compounds which are present in ginger can be classified into two, like volatile compounds and non-volatile compounds. So the other volatile compounds, they contribute for its flavor, aroma, and the pungent smell we get in ginger, whereas the non-volatile compounds, they are responsible for much of the health benefits of ginger. And the most of the ginger health benefits are actually attributed to its antioxidation activity. The compounds which are responsible for its antioxidation activity include like gingerol, shogaol, and paradol, zingerinone, and dihydrozingerinone. So our work was to determine the variation in its antioxidation properties when ginger is harvested at different time points, and to characterize its anti-obesity properties. So what we did, we planted ginger early in January 2017, and then we harvested ginger, started from first week of October, every 2 weeks until like January 2018. Once the ginger was harvested, we dried the ginger, we washed the ginger, freeze dry, make the powder, and then extracted in methanol. And then we tested the total polyphenolic content, its antioxidation activity, and its anti-obesity properties. So here is the look like, is just to show that when we harvest the ginger very early on, ginger looks like this, which is regarded as like a baby ginger. It's like immature, but as the time goes on, ginger becomes like mature, and then that's how it looks like. It's like a mature ginger. So quickly, some of the phenolic content. What we found interesting that when the ginger is harvested early on, like week 1 and 2, the phenolic contents are very high. Then it goes a period of like, you know, stability where this does not really change, and then towards the end, when we get a winter season, because ground gets a little cold, so ginger, you know, the phenolic content goes down. Similarly, what we found that since most of the phenolic compounds are responsible for its antioxidation properties, the same as we have high antioxidation activity when the ginger is harvested early on, and again, they are at like 4 weeks. Week 4, its antioxidation activity decreases, some kind of stability, it does not vary very much, and then again at the end, at week 14 and 16, the activity goes down. This is again another assay using ABTS assay, again like is oxygen scavenging assay, which is kind of depending on the absorption of free oxygen. So again, it's high antioxidation activity early on when the ginger is like, you know, baby ginger goes down, and then and almost like you see the amount of antioxidation activity at the when the ginger is very mature is almost like half what we get in the baby ginger. This is the antioxidation activity which is done in the cellular. So other two activities I've shown using, there were like using the chemical assays in the test tube where you measure this antioxidation activity, but this assay we have done in this in a cellular system, because what happens in cellular system, we have antioxidation mechanism itself, and sometimes the compound which has antioxidation activity in test tube may not be have any antioxidation activity when you basically measure in cell. So we use these cells using a fluorescent probe, and again we have the same thing that, you know, in baby ginger we have high antioxidation property, and as the ginger matures, its antioxidation activity goes down. We also analyze some of the key phytochemicals in ginger. The major compound which is present in ginger is 6-gingerol. And again, is in the baby ginger, the amount of all like 6-gingerol, 6-pyridol, and 6-shogol, they're high in baby ginger. As time passes, it matures, the chemical composition is also changes. So this baby ginger has more antioxidation activity, more phenolic compound, and more of the key phytochemicals compared to mature ginger. Now we're going to switch gears here and then talk about the obesity. As you know, the obesity is a problem all over in the world. Is a world problem, especially the countries, Western countries like United States, Europe. There are more incidences of obesity. In USA, Colorado is the state where it's the least obesity, whereas the West Virginia is highest in the obesity. Virginia is getting there. We have like 30% obesity in Virginia. And so what we did, we tried to test the effect of ginger on measures entire obesity properties. So what we did, we used these 331 cells. We differentiate into adipocytes. So what we do, we grow in the presence of high glucose, insulin, high steroids. It's a condition when you are really having a, like, you know, drink a lot of soft drinks and eating a high fat diet and all that. So what happens is these cells, they become like adipocytes. They accumulate a lot of fat. So what we have here, we have the cell which are not made fat, and then we have cell here which were made fat but not treated with ginger, and the fat cells were treated with ginger, two different concentrations, 25 microgram per ml and 50 microgram per ml, and then we look for lipid droplet formation. So what happens that there is just a, you know, biochemistry, what happens that your glucose converted into fat. If you have fat also, you know, gets somewhere here, and then fat accumulates and you get lipid droplet formation. So what we did, we measured the lipid droplets. So here is the cell where there is no no oil lipid droplets, but when we giving them lots of sugar and insulin and steroids, they start accumulating a lot of fat oil there. And when we have like 25 micrograms, there's a small decrease, but at 50 micrograms, there's a significant decrease in lipid droplets formation. We quantitated, we extracted the lipid, and then measured the lipid accumulations. At 50 micrograms, there's about 20-30% decrease in lipid accumulation. And then these lipids, they are mostly have triglycerides. So what we did, we also measured the triglycerides, and there's almost like 50% decrease in triglyceride accumulation when the cells are treated with ginger. We also look for some of the gene expression. So in adipogenesis, these are the genes which are involved, and then we have lipogenic enzyme. So if we measure these genes, so in adipogenesis, the genes, like we did not have effect on the gene, you know, on Krebs binding protein 1, but C, EBP1, and PPAR gamma, these are the genes which are involved in converting cell into adipocytes. So ginger has actually inhibited the expression of their genes. In lipogenesis, what happens, the glucose is breaks down, and all these intermediates through like ACC, acetyl-CoCarboxylase, or PEPK, which is phosphoinositide carboxycarbonyl, and FAS, which is fatty acid synthase, all these enzymes basically convert glucose into triglyceride. So we measure the activity of these, found that the ginger effects inhibits the activity of both phosphoenolpyruvate carboxykinase as well as acetyl-CoA carboxylase. So on both like adipogenesis level and lipogenesis level, ginger is active both at the gene level to suppress their expression. These are the future studies we're going to do. So there's a number of other pathways are involved. So we're going to measure how ginger can affect overall like cholesterol synthesis as well as triglycerides. So briefly, the conclusion is that phenolic content and antioxidation activity is highest in baby ginger. The phenolic content and its antioxidation activity decreases as the ginger gets mature. It's almost like 50% less in about 4 to 5 months. Ginger extracts inhibited fat accumulation in adipose cells and has the potential to be an effective agent against obesity. So that's my conclusion. Claire, I still have a few minutes to address any question if you may have. Thank you. Any questions? Sure.
How would the baby ginger basically react during storage and throughout storage? Do you do any work looking to see if the baby ginger will remain and maintain its quality?
Well, if we have some frozen, yes. If we keep it frozen, it does not really change. It's still. But and we have Dr. Takavi here, and she's a collaborator, and she's doing the post-harvest analysis. So how is, we haven't had the data yet, but soon we will get the data that how it, it's the composition changes if you keep it stored for longer at room temperature versus different temperature. That question? Well, thank you very much.